Today is Monday, August 31st. What to know about a deadly shooting during a protest in Portland, and why the city's mayor and President Trump are blaming each other for the violence. Also, what experts say is really behind COVID-19 outbreaks on college campuses. Plus, the world pays tribute to the Black Panther star gone too soon. Negotiations for TikTok get more complicated, and the first box office roundup in months. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Tensions in Portland, Oregon reached new heights over the weekend. A group of President Trump supporters and counter-protesters clashed, and a man ended up dead. A man from Vancouver, Washington, who was said to be a good friend of a right-wing activist group called Patriot Prayer, was shot in the chest. Portland police are investigating now, but so far, no arrests. Still, it's not clear what exactly led to the deadly shooting. But earlier in the day, The Oregonian reports a pro-Trump rally brought nearly 1,000 trucks full of supporters into Portland. That rally was tense from the start. The conservative activists faced off against crowds that have been protesting nightly in the city all summer, calling for social justice. At times, both sides were throwing things at each other. Eventually, video shows a small group of people in the road when shots were fired and the man collapsed. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler denounced the violence, and now he and President Trump are blaming each other after that shooting. Mayor Wheeler said the blame in part falls on President Trump because his words have encouraged division and violence. President Trump tweeted the mayor is a wacky and a dummy and blamed him for allowing violence to grow in his city. The Department of Homeland Security's acting secretary said it's possible the Trump administration ends up sending more federal law enforcement into Portland. He told ABC's This Week violence from all sides, left and right, needs to end. By the way, Portland was not the only city that saw mass protests over the weekend. The AP reports about 1,000 protesters also rallied in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where a white police officer shot a black man named Jacob Blake last week. They marched to the Kenosha courthouse and listened to a passionate speech from Jacob Blake's father. He called for changing the system that he says fosters police brutality and racial inequality. He also gave an update on his son, saying he's in a lot of pain but is on the road to recovery. Authorities there say that police shooting is still under investigation. Meanwhile, another group of about 100 peaceful protesters rallied in Kenosha to show support for police officers. President Trump now says he'll be going to Kenosha tomorrow to meet with law enforcement. A White House spokesperson said the president plans to show support for police and for businesses that have been vandalized in recent protests. Though Wisconsin's governor is asking Trump not to come. In a letter, Governor Tony Evers wrote that the visit would, quote, only hinder our healing. For now, it seems the trip will go on as planned. Some states that have been dealing with outbreaks all summer are showing signs of improvement. CNBC reports Texas, Florida, California, and Arizona are all seeing about 15% fewer infections than a week ago. But it seems the coronavirus pandemic is starting to take a toll on America's heartland. Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota have recently reported record one-day increases in new cases. Montana and Idaho are reporting record hospitalizations. And all around the country, some colleges are seeing outbreaks of their own. At the University of Alabama, classes started about a week and a half ago, and since then, more than 1,200 students have tested positive for COVID-19. The Washington Post reports most universities have rolled out strict safety measures like mandatory mask wearing and regular testing. But it seems the biggest issue is that universities have a hard time regulating off-campus activities like college parties. At the University of Alabama, officials say no students have had to be hospitalized. Still, it's worth noting COVID-19 can be serious. As of early this morning, more than 183,000 Americans have died from the virus, and the CDC expects that death toll to reach 200,000 in the next 20 days. President Trump is promising to help Louisiana and Texas rebuild following last week's deadly hurricane. He visited parts of the Gulf Coast that were hardest hit by Hurricane Laura. He spoke with first responders and local leaders, as well as FEMA and DHS officials. As far as recovery goes, President Trump said, quote, we'll supply what we have to supply. NPR reports the storm caused as much as $12 billion in damage. Hurricane Laura is also responsible for at least 15 deaths, most of them from carbon monoxide poisoning. Louisiana's governor says the issue is that people have been using portable power generators indoors, which is not how they're supposed to be used. But people have been reaching for those generators because hundreds of thousands of them have not had AC or other electricity. As of early this morning, there are more than 310,000 customers without power in Louisiana and another 61,000 in southeast Texas. And that's especially rough since the area has also been under a heat advisory with temperatures feeling like 110 degrees. Local officials say they are working hard to get service restored to everyone, but it could take up to a month. Things just got a bit more complicated for the American companies hoping to buy the popular video app TikTok. Now China is stepping in with its own rules. China released new restrictions on the export of artificial intelligence technology. And as the Wall Street Journal reports, it basically forces TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to slow down talks to sell. Some experts say the updated rules could allow China's government to block a deal completely, or at least have a say on which company would be allowed to take it over. Remember, Microsoft and Walmart have been working together to buy the U.S. portion of the app, and software company Oracle is also said to be making a bid. They've all shown interest since President Trump has threatened to ban TikTok because of national security concerns unless an American company takes over soon. Though TikTok has planned to sue the U.S. government over that threat. To be continued. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor today, Castle Grade. It's impossible for the planet to sustain billions of N95 masks being discarded at the end of each day. It's also a tough time, and most people don't want to be spending money on a mask every day that will need to be thrown away or even reused when it's not really supposed to be. That's why Dan Castle launched Castle Grade. So if you're looking for a mask that is reusable, sustainable, comfortable, and has the same level of protection as N95 masks, then check out Castle Grade. I made sure to discuss with both the company and an independent virologist before I agreed to promote them that Castle Grade does not use the same cloth material or factories that have meant other N95s are in short supply. So with Castle Grade, you can get the same level of protection without those added concerns. And there's even more to like. The company says the soft silicone won't leave marks on your face or fog your glasses. So go to castlegrade.com to learn more and enter the discount code NEWS at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com and use code NEWS at checkout for 10% off your first order. Now back to the news. Elon Musk unveiled another potentially groundbreaking invention. The tech mogul showed off a computer chip Friday that's meant to be implanted into the brain. It's about the size of a coin, and the idea is it will allow people to operate technology with just their thoughts. And it would be especially helpful for people who are paralyzed, since with this device, they could theoretically be able to easily operate technology like smartphones or robotic limbs. The chip was developed by Musk's company called Neuralink. Right now, it's being tested in pigs, and Musk hopes to start human trials in the future. Musk says he's working closely with the FDA on this, though his critics called it nothing more than neuroscience theater. Chadwick Boseman, the actor best known for his starring role in Black Panther, has passed away. Boseman died on Friday at only 43 years old. His family revealed he was diagnosed with colon cancer 4 years ago. His death came as a shock, since not many people knew he was sick. Boseman kept his diagnosis under wraps and continued to make movies in between surgeries and chemotherapy. In addition to his role in Black Panther, Boseman also played real-life Black American icons Jackie Robinson and James Brown. Just one day after his death, the tweet on Chadwick Boseman's account that announced his passing became the most liked tweet of all time. And other tributes have been pouring in from fans and celebrities. Denzel Washington, for example, told People magazine Boseman was a, quote, gentle soul and brilliant artist who will stay with us for eternity through his iconic performances. Lakers star LeBron James did the Wakanda Forever salute before Sunday's game. ABC aired a commercial-free network premiere of Black Panther last night and called it a tribute for a king. The MTV Video Music Awards also opened with a special tribute. For the first time since the start of the pandemic, we have a box office roundup for you. This weekend, a few big blockbusters were released in theaters, like the superhero thriller The New Mutants. Variety reports the Disney film raked in about $7 million. Disney called the numbers encouraging and said it's clear people still have an appetite for the theater. Two other new movies that came out this weekend were Bill and Ted Face the Music, which brought in about $1 million, and The Personal History of David Copperfield. Of course, theaters still haven't fully bounced back. Only about 60 to 70% of them are open in North America. And in some major movie markets like LA, Seattle, and New York, theaters are still closed. The 2020 U.S. Open kicks off today in New York City. And as you might expect, this is not going to be an ordinary tennis tournament. Fans are not allowed to attend. Also this year, there will be no mixed doubles, juniors, or legends competitions. Players are also getting regular COVID-19 tests. Despite all the changes, some of the world's best players will still be competing, like Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic. The U.S. Open will air on ESPN channels over the next 2 weeks. And that's it for your main 10 minutes of news today. But now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. Today, we're talking about how the pandemic has radically changed the way we shop. New data from IBM's U.S. Retail Index shows it sped up our shift away from physical stores to online stores by about 5 years. Of course, that trend was already in motion, but apparently the lockdowns and need to socially distance sped it up dramatically. For example, department stores are expected to see a decline of more than 60% for the year, while online shopping or e-commerce is expected to grow by nearly 20%. So TechCrunch says expect to see more retailers pushing for services like buy online and pick up in store. Still, the jury is out on whether these changes are permanent or just for now. Stay tuned. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com/shownotes. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.